ask Bill to come up. Bill, thank you for doing this class. I know we all appreciate it. So this is my good friend Bill. Let's give him a nice
welcome. Hope you feel that way after the class, but what happened to her? Was Diana right here? Where'd she go?
She was in the back.
All right. All right, I'll catch her when she gets back. Where?
In the corner over there. I can see her. In the room.
By the door.
Diana.
Come here. You can stand right there. You're good. You're good right there. You're good right there. No, when you started to talk, the Holy Ghost showed me authority coming out of you for declaration for warfare. He said there's strength in your voice and there's power in your voice. So what he wants you to do, the Holy Spirit wants you to go and he wants you to ask him to teach you about declaration and spiritual warfare. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to go to school on it.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell with you? Well, that's all right. That's all right. He has that in him, overwhelming. That's one of his... Yeah, write that down. That's a good idea. Okay. Before I start, I felt like this was for somebody in the room. I was talking to somebody and the bulb went on. So Jesus cleansed the temple and then he's in Bethany. He goes in, he cleanses the temple, and he goes back in the evening. He gets up next morning, and he starts heading back for Jerusalem. And he sees a fig tree, and he curses the fig tree. It's in Mark 11. You can turn your Bibles to Mark 11:20 if you want to go any further. And then his disciples they passed by the fig tree. So when he was on his way back, he cursed the fig tree, and then they saw the fig tree cursed, and they said, "Look, Lord, the fig tree you cursed has withered." And he turns around to them in verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Now that can be translated, "Have you faith of God?" So what he's saying is, if you're thinking like me, you're going to see what I see. Okay? Real important. "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be thou cast into the sea.'" And mountain is a rabbinical term which means an insurmountable or impossible thing. Did you hear what I said? Something that looks insurmountable or impossible. "Be removed and be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt." Now, doubt in the Greek language means a conflict basically between two decisions. So you can't be in faith and doubt at the same time. And you don't want to be like James says, like a being tossed to and fro by the sea. Because you're doing this. And I love the story about the pink eye, and it fit right into this because it shows that it isn't the feelings, it's the faith. It isn't what you can see, it's the faith. Because the kingdom is invisible. The bodies are natural, but the kingdom's invisible. So you can never line up sickness and stuff with the natural. You got to line it up with the spiritual. "And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, that wasn't a problem with Jesus, was it? Because he got whatever he said. And it's the whole creative principle, and God spoke the universe into existence, and he didn't think it, he spoke it. So declaration is, well, that's another time, but it's an extremely important thing. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now, it's interesting that these two words, "them," is in the italics, which means it wasn't in the original manuscript. It was put in there to help us understand it better. So listen to it this way. "Therefore, I say unto you," therefore goes back to everything he just said. See, therefore always builds, what was said builds on what's going to be said. That's whenever you see that word therefore, just think of it as an arrow pointing back to what you just read. Because the therefore fits with what was just said, so what comes makes it a lot more complete, so I don't confuse myself by keep talking. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive and you will have." Believe that you receive and you will have. Believe that you receive and you will have. So a lot of times when we're looking at an impossible or insurmountable thing, whether it's finances, sickness, you name it, what God's going to do with you. And actually, that's how we all get saved. We receive Christ first before we fully see him. So it's always the first principle. I think I've covered this before, but I felt like somebody in the room needed to hear that. Okay? So let's get going here. I'm going to pop that right there. Okay, I should have done this, actually, before I got here. I knew I was missing something tonight. I was just sitting down, enjoying myself. We're going to talk about revelation, interpretation, and application, or how does God speak to us? What do we do with the information he gives us, and then how do we deliver that? That's why you're all here. It's prophetic ministry. So we're now rolling into the meat and potatoes of prophetic ministry. So here we have, right here, this is God, and this is us, and this is our spirit joined with the Holy Spirit, okay? It's a spirit-to-spirit thing, because you become a new creation. You were AM before you were born again, and then when you became FM, here's your AM, then you became born of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came in you and he brought the FM, or the wave frequencies from the kingdom. And if you read that whole thing in John chapter 3, he talks about you must be born again to what? To see and to enter. To see and to enter the kingdom. So you have to have the Spirit of God in you to get the wave frequencies from the kingdom. It's that simple. So what he did, he made it easy for us by putting one of the three members of the Trinity inside of us. Don't ask me how he does it. Never figured it out. But now we have direct access and communication to the kingdom of God. Everybody in the building that's born again. Everybody. No exceptions. It's a principle. It's not a feeling. It's a principle. It's not a feeling. Okay. And then he has this thing called Logos, which is basically a communication. That takes place between and a dialogue when he wants to, according to his purposes. It's a communication that takes place between God and us. That's where we get the term word of knowledge. It's a discourse. It's a communication between God and us. That's a word. Now, Logos means Bible. Logos can actually mean this word account in Hebrews 4:13, where it says, and there is nothing hidden from the eyes of him to whom we must give an account, or Logos. And so what happens is, let's just take a look at this. Open up to your Bible. So what's going on here with this is God discloses his knowledge to us at the intersection of his time and purposes. So I have a lot of people would run away from me because they were scared I knew what was going on in their life. Some of you are probably in the room saying, I wonder if he knows what I'm thinking. No, I don't. I'm only as good as God creates the moment of what I call intersection of time and purpose, where he reveals something to me. Now, he isn't going to reveal sometimes with me everything, because it says in 1 Corinthians, I'll slow down, thank you. 1 Corinthians 13:9, for we know in part and we what? Prophesy in part. So God will give you as much information as he needs to, and what we're going to learn as we learn how to digest God's information is how to handle that so we don't exceed God's information. So we cut off, you know, we cut off and he stays. And that's an art of what? That's not an art of going to school for learning prophetic ministry. That's a relationship that God sets up between you and the one he's giving the information to, who's passing it on to your spirit, which is eventually going to go into your head. And you're going to have at one moment in your life the mind of Christ at that moment. It's cool stuff, isn't it? That's for everybody in the room that's born again. Oh, by the way, I forgot to do this. Any questions on anything I said last week? Yes. Any questions? I forgot that in the beginning. If you have a question and you're not sure, you can always do this. You can write this down, walsop@nc.rr.com. Just don't send me a book. Don't send me a forward or you'll never hear from me again. But if you get stuck somewhere and you don't want to bring it out in the class, I'm willing to help you with that. That's why we're here. So in Romans 18, it says that the Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are what? That we are the children of God. Okay. That bears witness means to collaborate or validate, confirm, verify, or agree. So we have to understand that one of the things that the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to do is agree with God and know that this whole thing right here exists. And we're not normally taught this when we go to church. And so sometimes we think God is way off over here, but that doesn't ring true with a good father. Or we think, you know, it'd be like having a phone conversation. If my daughter called me up and she started talking, and I just hung up the phone after she was through talking. That's not making me a good father. And there's always was a communication between the what? The Father and the Son. They were in union. That's what God's trying to do with us. He's trying to get us into a place of union. So let's just do this real quick. Let's look at Colossians 1. And I'll just do this one, because we got a lot to cover in the next couple of weeks. Go to Colossians 1. And we'll look at verse... I got a water over there. Right there. Is that it? Okay. Let's go to verse. And I'll give you some time for questions here. Colossians 1. Let's start at verse 20. The mystery. Now, mystery really means something hidden that's going to be disclosed. But I don't want you to think of God when he uses this word mystery that means you got to go play a game of Clue to figure out what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that there are hidden things, because he said this to Paul in Acts 26 when Paul's recounting his conversion experience. And he's talking, he says, "Rise, stand to your feet, for I've called you this purpose to do this." And he says, "And I'm going to reveal the things that you see and the things I'm going to yet reveal to you." So God is always doing this in your life. He is showing you what you can see, but he has a whole mess of stuff he wants to reveal. And the good thing about God is he's perfect in his revelation. See, sometimes we say something to God and all we hear are crickets. So we don't think that God heard us. But then that violates Scripture, doesn't it? Because he hears everything we say. Not only, watch this, does he hear everything we say? He knows what we're going to pray before we pray it. And sometimes he puts the thought in your head to pray what he's already answering. I mean, this guy's got some stuff. Okay. So we have the mystery, which has been hidden from the ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. That's us. We're all saints of God. Him we preach. To them God willed. Watch this. To them God who willed? God willed. See, this isn't about you, this is about him. God has willed what? To make known what are the riches. Oh, this is just phenomenal stuff. What does this look like? What are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which Christ in you, the hope of glory? I don't know how I'm going to treat this one, but I got some prophetic words that came, and I think I shared that God told me to go into a coffee shop. He said, read the book of Habakkuk, and that just flooded out about 15 years of prophetic words. And then he tied maybe 9 or 10 prophecies together in one story. I got to go home and work on it. But really, all of it has to do with the coming glory of God. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that what the Lord told me is what he's going to do. And when I put it together, I'll make it available. And you can figure that one for yourself. Okay, so now we're going to try to look at the ways, and I need your participation in this. I want you to tell me the ways that God, the methods that God has to communicate to us as believers. So let's just put that up here, and then we're going to go over them. I know this for a fact. God communicates. I'm sorry, I don't have any scripture for that, but the Lord talks to her in license plates. Yes. Okay, I had that happen to me one time. It was 333. Everywhere I go, see 333.
I saw 444.
Yeah.
I wake up every morning.
I had that for like 2.5 years, and then he revealed it to me. So just remember, if he speaks to you, there's going to become something that's going to be revealed that's going to be made clear. Okay? All right, how are the ways that God speaks to us? What?
Thoughts.
Pictures. All right, so could we use the word vision? Okay. And then the other one would be what?
Thoughts.
Okay, so we could use the word thought. Can I add a word to this, hopefully, that you will agree with? Let's just put intuitive. You know something, but it's still a thought. What else? Yes?
He whispers.
So could we put that in voice? Is the voice in your head, or is the voice audible? Okay, so we know that he speaks by audible voice. We have that in the Bible. Well, we'll look at that. And whispers is, okay, I'll put that. It's called in the ear. Samuel, hearing in the ear, I'll put that. Samuel heard in his ear. I think it's in 1 Samuel 9:18. You can look right around there. You'll see it. He would hear, and that's me. I hear God in my right ear. So sometimes I'll be sitting in a service and I'll be doing this. He never comes in this ear. He's always come in this ear. Man, what's wrong with that guy? Yeah. Okay, what other ways did God speak in the Bible? Come on. What? What'd you say? Illuminated scripture means the scripture comes alive. And the other one was what? Dreams. Any other ones?
I was going to say music.
What?
Music.
Well, he speaks to you through music. Okay, I'll put that up there. I'm going to put that in the music license plate category. Unsaved person. Very good. That's another one. So another person. I don't like bending down that low. Another person. Even unsaved. He'll speak. If he can make a mule talk to, right? Come on. A female mule talking in a male voice and seeing the spirit will get your attention. I have no idea what I'm writing here.
Even unsaved.
Oh, thank you. Word of knowledge. Okay. What else?
I have one, but I'm not sure what to call it. A lot of the times he speaks, like if I've prayed about something, but I'm actually talking to somebody else and helping them.
So it comes out prophetically.
Through my own mouth.
Okay, we're going to do that. We're going to do incoming and outgoing.
Okay.
But you're, that's part of what it is. Okay. Yes?
Nature.
Yep, he can speak to us through creation. In fact, that says it in Romans 1. He says, nobody is without excuse because I've laid out creation. This is all good. This is great stuff.
Feeling.
What?
Feeling. Like physical feeling.
Physical feeling. So we could say senses. Natural. And I'm going to add this one because I've experienced this. I'm going to put senses natural. And these are all things that ways in which God can speak to every one of us in the room. Okay? And the other one is senses spiritual. And I'll explain that down the road. Anything else? Who else have we missed here?
Angels.
Ah, there it is. Angels. Okay. And that pretty much is... It's a lot. So watch this. Yes?
So which one of these is the following? You're in a conference and a lot of people are talking about a different thing. And suddenly what these different people say all lines up in your head and you speak out the solution based on what pieces of all the people are disconnected say.
Okay, so you're pulling in all the stuff around you.
Yeah, and then the Holy Spirit.
We would call that the wisdom of God.
Okay.
Wisdom is you're taking all that and you're seeing a good perspective. If you do that a lot, that means that God's gifted you in wisdom. Yeah, because if you can take all that stuff and pull it down and just release one thing that's good for all of it, that's all. It would be hard to call it a word of wisdom, but it would be the wisdom of God. Wisdom is insight into his divine purposes. So if God's behind it, it'll come out that way. All right, we'll do one too. Yeah.
I don't know if this fits, but sometimes if I'm speaking, it could be to my kids or whatever, and I speak words that I didn't think of.
Yeah, that's prophetic.
Okay.
That's the outgoing.
Okay.
This is incoming, but... We're going to talk that. Because you can actually be... I can do this. I was sitting in a coffee shop one time just like that. I was at a luncheon. I was doing a conference and we were all breaking for lunch and I was sitting there and I was... I don't know what I was having. And I was talking to the lady next to me and then all of a sudden I went prophetic and spoke to her for about 20 minutes. Started reading her mail. Yes. Yeah.
So external circumstances.
Yeah, yeah, that would be circumstances. That's a good one. No, that's good. Actually, that's true. And I'm going to add another word. I'm going to put experience. Things that experience. And sometimes what will happen is God will speak to you through adversity. God will speak to you through experience. He speaks to me a ton through adversity. Listen, you're all going to have adversity. God's going to make sure of it. You need it. As I always say, adversity introduces yourself to yourself. And he'll do that because you need it. It'll make you perfect, lacking in nothing. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
What was the word?
Adversity. Always worth it doing God's way. Yes.
Well, is there a difference between seeing pictures and vision?
I'll try to explain that when I get to it. I'm going to go over these. Okay, you with me? Okay. Let's start. Anything else?
This may.
And questions. If you have questions. You fire them off, because I'll see if we're going to answer them as we're talking. Yes?
This may have been covered already, but I'll be talking with people sometimes, and I'll minister to myself with the words that come out of my own mouth.
Yes.
So I don't know what that...
That's that...
Yeah.
I know,
that's
yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
It happens
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Conversation. He's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you understand what he was saying?
Yeah.
What he's saying... Come on, we all...
Yeah.
you know, you're saying it, and the Lord's saying, you know, you're saying, well, this is what you need to do, and all of a sudden you realize it's what you need to do too. And God's reminding you. We'll put that as a reminder. Yeah. Anything else? Yes. Yes.
Can adversity include sickness?
Huh?
Can adversity include sickness?
Yeah, he can speak to you in the sickness. He doesn't create the sickness, but he can speak to you through it. Oh, absolutely. It's what we call trials. James talks about that. You can start read it, and you know, James is saying, count it all joy. Hello. When you're dead center in the midst of a trial. So you can read that in James chapter 1. And I can tell you from personal experience, you learn a lot about yourself when you're in any kind of trial, sickness, adversity, family situation. And the whole idea is to get you to learn. Because sometimes he has to get our attention to learn. But he isn't going to get your attention putting a sickness on your body. Are you with me? Well, and you also have to understand it's from the adversary, but we also have the fall. So not every sickness is of the devil. We have chemicals, we have all sorts of stuff, we have viruses, we have flu. So sickness is not uncommon. No. No. Well, and if you go to Psalm 103, 1-3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all is in me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your sicknesses. Who forgives your sin and heals your sicknesses. And that's in the New Covenant. Now, I don't want to fly off on divine healing. It would be a great subject. But those two provisions were done in the atonement, that on the cross. Just like when I got saved, the provision for my salvation was done 2,000 years ago. Isaiah says, by his stripes you are healed, but in Peter it says, by his stripes you were healed. So my salvation was paid for 2,000 years before I got saved. When I was lying drunk in my house, reading a tract, I couldn't figure out how God, who lived 2,000 years ago, saved me, because I didn't understand the provision was made for me by what? By believing in faith. That goes true with healing. And it goes back to what I was saying about receiving your healing. See, we have... That's why people go to Africa, because they're, and you see many more miracles than you see in the United States, because they're Eastern thinkers. We're rationalists, so we're running calculations in their head, and they're just going, okay, I'll take that. And see, we don't even think like them, so it's hard for us to get into our head, because we're all rationalists in the room. We're in a rationalist society. We were born rationalists, and rationalism is all around us. So it's harder for us to believe than it is somebody that's an Eastern thinker. Especially if they understand spirits. Yeah, because they think differently than we do. Faith is much easier for them to understand. They go, oh, yeah, okay. You want this? Yeah, I'll take this. Yeah, real quick. He'll always going to speak to you in everything. He's going to speak to you on the mountaintop. And he's going to speak to you in the valley, whatever that faith is.
Because I was thinking of how Job, he was in his sickness, you know.
Yeah. But there's a cool thing about Job. I love this part. I didn't see it for years. I love this part of Job. It's one of my favorite parts. All of a sudden, I'm reading one day, and here's Job going through all this stuff, boils, family, livestock. Come on, everything gets wiped out. A bad day. Huge bad day. Gets all his friends together, and I can't spend too much more time, or we're going to lose where we are. But Anyway, so he's got his friends, he's got his three friends, and they're all trying to say this, and he's trying to say that, and they're trying to speak for God. Then God comes on the scene in chapter 38. And he goes, where were you? And then he starts 38, 39, 40, I think 41, and he discloses who he is in his nature. Job learned more about the nature of God than anybody on the earth at that time by God disclosing it to him in the midst of his adversity. When my wife was diagnosed with cancer and they gave her 3 months to live and I went to pray for her, God said to me, because he came down in the room and I've seen stage 4 cancers, tumors, yeah, blown those out. Lord's taking care of those. So there isn't much I haven't seen in healing and miracles. And I was pounding on, I was down in my den. I guess this is the way we're going. I was down in my den. See, Lord, you started with that Mark thing, and look what you did. You opened up a bag here. So I'm now. I've been married. I'm in my 27th year of marriage. Alice knows. Alice was here when I knew my wife Barbara. And so I'm in my 27th year of marriage. I got a great marriage, and I come home one day, and she tells me she's got 3 months to live. Well, that's kind of shocking, and you know, I wasn't ready for that. And then we had to go back to the hospital over the weekend. Then Monday came around. And then, I'm going to tell this story. Then Tuesday came around. And so Tuesday night, I'm on the floor and I'm pounding my fist at God. And I'm saying, God, I have a ministry of divine healing. And I feel no power in me to pray for my wife. And I have questions. Come on. Especially in this position. I'm going to tell this story. Maybe somebody needs to hear it. Okay. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and I'm glad I have this kind of relationship with the Lord, all of a sudden, the voice of the Lord came into the car, and he said, Bill, and I said, and I remember, you see, with God, he has ways to, I think he's got this little dial, he's got a microphone up there. Now, don't believe me if you think I'm speaking, you know, because some people go, I didn't know he had a microphone and a dial. He had a microphone and the dial goes from 1 to 10. So when he, understand this about God, he has power to speak and change things when he speaks. Change attitudes, change consistency in your body. He sent his word and healed them. Psalm 107:20. All right, so he has the power to emit with his voice, the dynamics to change things immediately in your heart, in any other way he wants to do it. That's why you have to watch out for the devil, because the devil has a thing called dark, I call it dark magic. He can speak with power too and make people do things like walking into a movie theater and shooting Colorado, whatever that was, Aurora. That's a demon. That's not mental illness. That's a demon. Guy was full of demons. Okay. So he goes, Bill, and I go, yes, Lord. And he said, would you give me your wife? And I can remember when he said it, my whole heart changed, and I looked up to the Lord, and I said, well, yes, Lord. And he says, fine, I'll take her. And then the next day, I was picking up my daughter at Grace. It used to be over off of Edwards Mill Road. I like having all these people around. It can.
Fill in the blanks.
So, Edwards Mill Road, and I'm in a car and I'm listening to the song called Peace, and it was an old Hosanna Integrity music called Africa, and I'm sitting in the car and listening to it, and all of a sudden inside of me, the power of God rose up inside of me, and I'm sitting behind the wheel, and I'm waiting in the line to go in. And all of a sudden, the voice was so strong, he said, who do you say that I am? And it was like, phew, I'm still feeling it. And my fist went up, and I almost punched my fist through the roof, and I said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I knew at that moment that God was doing something that he didn't need my involvement in. So for 3 months, I became a caretaker of my wife. And all the people that called that had prophecies all pointed to her going home. Because see, you're all going to go home. He already knows when you're going to die before you're born. But you're all going to go home. You're going to go home from something. Even Elijah, who was a great miracle worker, came down with the sickness from which he would die. It wasn't an issue of faith with that guy. It was just his time and the way we go out. And you'll find out when your time comes how you're going out. I'd take the jet, I'd take the elevator, but none of those exist. So your body's going to shut down because of the fall someday. Okay? Unless you get translated. And we're not seeing a lot of that in the Bible. So people would come into the house and they try to comfort them, and they walk out comforted because we tell them about the glory, that literally you could dive off the balcony and swim in the glory of God that was coming down into the room. And in those 3 months, God taught me so much about death that no theological course I could take for 100 years would ever satisfy my understanding of life and death, to get a full comprehension of death. I remember one guy came in and he was trying to send me down to Brazil to have her chew on some Brazilian walnuts or something, and she lived. And he said, well, you could live to be 120. This is a true story. The next day, I'm watching TV, and they're celebrating a guy, his birthday, he was 119 years old. And he looked like a Gila monster that had been out in Arabia for 55 years without any suntan lotion. And I thought to myself, I don't want to look like that when I'm 119. I'd leave tomorrow if it wasn't for my wife. I'm ready to go, but I have a mission here. Paul said that. He was looking to get out of here. So actually we had a service here, and Barbara actually got up and spoke, and then she died, and we flew her, yeah, you were here. And then we flew her back to Maine, and we had a memorial service in Lancaster, because we had only left our hometown in Massachusetts for a couple of years. And this is the key thing that God told me about, because even with the death of your wife, you still have questions. Even with all the glory, even if God came down and made a personal appearance, you're still going to have questions, aren't you? Because we're human. See, you always have to keep in your mind that you're human. And you can't beat yourself up by having questions. You're human. He's divine. There's going to be things. I still don't understand any of that. And I've been living in it for 35 years. I've been tied to that dimension, and it makes no sense to me. So I'm about to speak, and we're up in the congregational church, packed out, foyer packed out, standing room only. And I'm sitting up there, and all of a sudden the Lord says to me, he says, let me ask you a couple of questions. Just like that. I'm just quoting him verbatim. And he said, where were you when she was born? I said, I wasn't there. He said, where were you when she got saved in the seat? And he pointed to the first pew on the right side in the front seat. Now, I found out like 4 or 5 months later that, how we doing? We all set with that? Good. So I pointed to the pew and I said, and then about 4 months later, I found out that's the seat she got saved in. He said, where were you when she got baptized in the Holy Spirit? So it wasn't there. This is exactly how he said it. He went like this. Oh, I see. So I got to the most important part of her life and I got confused.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah. And I've said this to people and they think I'm crazy. If I had a choice to learn what God taught me about life and death and keeping her, I would have chosen the life of death. So you're not going to be able to explain away all that God does. You're only going to get to take your best shot. And let me just tell you, from doing it and being in the healing ministry for a long time, there are no manuals on it. And there's always exceptions to the rule. And those are times you just got to live with. But realize this one thing. This helped me more than anything in my life. I know that God's perfectly in control of the universe. I know he's perfectly in control of me. I know he's absolutely perfect, so he doesn't make mistakes. And if you ever get a thought in your house that God doesn't know what he's doing, or he's making a mistake because it doesn't fit with where you are at the moment, which is really a hard place. And here's one of the reasons it's a hard place. When I took exams, even though I didn't pass any of them, when I took multiple choices and always picked the wrong one, and I'm in a room with 25 other people and I'm taking a test, the teacher never came over and talked to me while I was taking the test. And a lot of times you're going to go through things and you're not going to understand what it is, and God isn't going to speak to you in the midst of the test and the trial he's taking you through. But later he will reveal to you, because that's who he is, why he did it. May not be a month later, may not be 6 months later, may not be a year later, but he's going to reveal it. All right. We've covered that subject. All right, let's go back to our Bible. I have a Bible here somewhere. What did I do with it? All right, thank you. Go to 1 Samuel, and we'll talk about personal appearance. Now, there are examples in the Old Testament, a lot of them, where it says the angel of the Lord, and sometimes you'll see that word capitalized. That can mean that's a pre-incarnate form of Jesus. All right, like the captain Joshua and the captain of the hosts. That was probably Jesus. Doesn't say Jesus. When it says angel, it doesn't say angel. Doesn't say Jesus. But that's some of the thinking that's on that. Okay? So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to just take a couple of these. I got a story. I don't think I can... Can we extend another week? All right, because I think I need to tell this story. Somebody got a hold of my kindergarten notes. I think I have them at home somewhere. It says, Billy likes to tell stories and talk with his fists. Isn't that the way it went?
Yes, in
first and second grade. First and second grade. All right, let's look at verse 19. So Samuel... This is Samuel after three times, the Lord would wake him up and go, Samuel, and he'd run to Eli, and Eli say, go back to bed, and then I didn't say anything, and then the fourth time he said, that's probably the Lord, or the third time, that's probably the Lord, and then the Lord began to speak to him. And then after that it says, so Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. Now, that means that Samuel, if we're going to look at prophets, we're going to look at Samuel as one of the premier prophets that ever lived. Imagine being a guy where the Lord is saying, when I speak through him, none of those words fall to the ground. It's a perfect thing of a good prophet, and that none of his words ever fell to the ground. I mean, he goes through some serious stuff when he starts getting vision and revelation. And all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then a Lord, here it is, appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, we don't always know when it says appeared, does it mean appeared? Well, here it says appeared, so it means appeared. Whatever that looked like. And then we know if we go to Mark 16, when we're talking about these signs that follow them and believe, that he appeared to his disciples and rebuke them for their unbelief. So they had a visitation, and we know that after he was resurrected and came back to the earth, he was here for 40 days and appeared. That's still an appearance of God that's outside the norm, because he had died and there wasn't anything in the tomb. Next thing you know, the guy's walking around the earth. Come on, put yourself there. How would you like to be mowing the grass in that cemetery? And was it Matthew 27 when you're out there mowing the lawn and gotten your weed whacker out, and all of a sudden you hear a rumble and the sky goes dark and you hear a rumble and everything? It says, and the graves popped open and they came out of the graves and went into the city. Come on. What did they do in the city? And what happened to them? What if they were all skeletons and they went into the city? Nobody thinks like I do. Okay. So in 1998, I'm at Pepperell Assembly of God in Faith Assembly of God in Pepperell, Massachusetts. And it was Palm Sunday. And I was going to go up there and I was going to preach. And I was sitting in the back row. I like to get away. I normally don't participate in worship because I like to listen while everybody else is worshiping. That's just training on me. So if you ever see me and everybody standing and I'm sitting, it's because I'm listening. Because I'm trained to listen. So anyway, I'm in the back row, and one of the elders comes up and he says, "I think I have a word for you." And I said, "Watch this." I said, "Go check it out with the pastor." Because I didn't know him. And I wanted to make sure that I wasn't dealing with somebody who's a kook, who would say something kooky to me, and then he would see the other side of me. So he went up there, and the pastor said yes, and then after the music stopped, they called me up. Now, I'm standing here, and the stage is like right over here, and he's up. I think he was singing. I think he was in the musical group, and all the flag wavers were over here. And so he starts walking down the stage, and all I can hear is electricity starting to crackle around my whole body. You know, like you go over, if you walk near those high transformers? So all of a sudden, the electricity starts to crackle, and I know when I hear crackling electricity, my body's going somewhere. Because every time I hear crackling, I'm not standing in about 5 seconds. And I literally I felt like I came up and I was blown back into the crowd. And I was on the ground. I mean, the force was like, boom, like this. And I just went, bam, like that, and I hit the ground. And I never even heard what he said. So I'm on the ground and I'm lying there like this, and I have my eyes closed. And then I open my eyes, and one of my friends comes over and she puts her hand on my chest like this. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, her body and the rest of her body from here out disappears, so the only thing that's left is an arm. How would you like to be in this dream or vision? And so I'm sitting there, and then the arm swings around to the other side. It literally just goes like this. The hand stays there, but it swings all the way over to the left side. Now, it's on the left side, and then the hand is on this side, and then the body that grows out, and there's Jesus standing next to me with, I believe, was Moses and Elijah, but I couldn't make them out. But I got the sense, he said, "I'm going to go down and minister to Bill. You guys want to come?" And they said, "Yeah." And then his hand sunk into my chest. And they actually thought I was having a heart attack, but when his hand sunk into my chest, I couldn't feel anything. Except I was doing this. It was weird, man. Man. No electricity, no power, no feeling. It's just like the depth of him went into my hand. And then I was wiped out. So they finally walked me over to the seat, and I was going to get up, and I was going to preach on Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. So I'm sitting down, and you could feel the room was like almost thick with God. Nobody was moving. I mean, they knew this wasn't me. He's in the room somewhere. And I actually have it on tape. And so finally I started, I asked two of them to carry me up there because I was afraid of the crackling. And I didn't want to start preaching and go now and then boom, go for it. So finally I got stabilized, but everything to me was in slow motion. So I went like this. Now faith is. And when I got to that part, I looked up and he was standing back where you are. And he was just standing in the midst of the crowd like this. It's what we call a theophany. You can see him, but you can't see him. Yeah. And I could see that one of the things I noticed was he had a really strong jawbone, which would signify muscular. You ever see a guy that's really, they have that muscular. And I was looking at him, and he was looking at me, but I was looking at him, but I couldn't see everything about him, but he was standing there. And then I had a picture of him, and the picture was like, and I made contact with his eyes, and his eyes signified that there was nothing going inside of him that had any anxiety or worry or anything else. Wow. It's the only picture I ever got of a person completely void of ever having any of that.
Wow.
It was a real freaky thing. But the picture I got of it was he could have been walking on the beaches of Iwo Jima during Normandy, like in a bubble with nothing around him, not even worried about anything. And he looked at me and he said, "Don't worry." And then it disappeared. Now, he still hasn't explained to me the "don't worry." But he will someday. And I can remember, you never forget something like that. So that's a personal appearance. Any questions so far? Yes.
Have you had more than one?
Yeah. Oh, okay. This one had a little more juice.
Okay.
I can never say I'd led a dull life. And my wife will say she's never led a dull life being married to me or me married to her. All right, it's good though. All right, I'm going to tell you this one. So, because you got to think about, you know, when it talks in Thessalonians about the trump of God shall sound, dead in Christ will rise, and we alive will be caught up. It doesn't use the word rapture in the Bible. It uses caught up. Caught up is like a peregrine falcon traveling at 200 miles an hour. And the moment it means snatch, the moment it hits that little prairie dog, that's the moment. So it's an atomic second or 11/100ths of a second. How can God pull 600 million people off the earth in 11/100ths of a second? Come on. Tell me you don't think about that. Come on. Left Behind series, you know, leaving your clothes, whatever. All right. Okay, so I'm saved in 1979. I got baptized in the Spirit in April. So in June, in our house in Massachusetts, I had a little room. We had a den, and then we had a little room that led out to our terrace area and a pool. We had a terrace area and a pool. And we had this little room, was like, I don't know, it was just there, a little teeny room. And I had a little TV in there, and my wife had gone to sleep, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, 11:30, somewhere in there. And I'm watching a show with John Jimenez, who was from the Rock Church in Baltimore. I think he was in Baltimore. He was famous back in the 80s. Huh? Virginia Beach. You know John, and what was the voice? Ann Jimenez. Ann with the raspy voice, Ann. And he was just talking about stuff, and it convicted my heart that I hadn't been praying for my mother. And so it's rare for me when I pray. I don't usually close my eyes and bow down. I just like to walk and pray and talk to God. That's praying. I have more fun communicating to his friend than than I do doing other stuff. But you do it the way you do it, and I do it the way I do it, but it's all communication, right? And so when I pray, I just talk to him and ask him and do that. That's praying. So I'm praying all the time because I'm always talking to him. So I get down, I'm feeling bad, so I'm on my knees, and it's the only time in 35 years I've ever done this. I put my head down, and I felt like praying, and I had just gotten saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I hadn't read the Bible that much. I was just getting into it. And all of a sudden, my head gets thrown right between my legs, and I start off in tongues so fast, it was like a machine gun. My whole body was locked up. My head was thrust down. I couldn't move my head, and I couldn't stop speaking in tongues. And it felt like from the far side of the universe, this power hit. Now, I've had a lot of power in my life, but I haven't been able to describe this. Never have. And then as the power hit, my whole body just started to shake. And then the next thing I know in the vision, because I can't get my head up, on the other side of the glass, this being is descending on the other side who has bronze feet and wool hair. You get caught in this one. And then when he starts to descend, this another wave of power came that I can't describe and never have been able to. And then that left, and my head was released, and I came back up. And then I walked around the house with, it felt like lightning going through my body, so I was holding on to things for about a half hour. Then I came back into the room, and I realized one thing from that whole experience. When God says he can pull 600 or 700 million people off the earth in 11 one-hundredths of a second, piece of cake. Because there's dimensions of power in the kingdom that none of us have ever experienced. And so what we try to do sometimes when we equate God, we try to bring God down to our level. He's not about that. He's about his level. In fact, I can tell you there's stuff that's coming, even though evil's coming, you need to get a hold of yourself because it's really going to be good. Okay, let's look at dreams. Go to Luke. Are you with me?
Yes.
Any questions on anything I've said? I know we're a little off a little, but it's okay. It's just we do it the way it comes out. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 18. That's not what I want. I want to go to Luke 1. Actually, do this. Go back to Matthew. Sorry. I don't want to do that one. I'm just going to tell you this because there's three or four of them. If you read the story of Mary and John and Jesus, you will see that God comes down. Number one, he speaks to Joseph. What did I say? Did I say Joseph?
You said Joseph. No.
Joseph, he'll speak to the first couple of chapters of Matthew. Read them. You'll see about dreams. So when Mary became pregnant, that wasn't supposed to happen. But God spoke to Joseph in a dream, telling him that she conceived by the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise she could have been put to death. So he told her in a dream, and then when it came time for them to get out of there, he gave him dreams not only about leaving, he gave him dreams to come back. So God can speak to you, not only watch this, God can speak to you directionally, and he can speak to you informationally in dreams. Are you with me? So sometimes that when you have dreams, now me, I have spaghetti dreams all the time. I have a godly dream about once every 2 years or three. Anybody with me? Oh, gee, we're... What's that say about us? I don't get dreams in the night. I get spaghetti westerns and the Warner Brother cartoons and...
I get sleep at night.
You get sleep at night.
Good for you.
All right, good for you. Yeah. How many people can go amen? Have her lay hands on the whole crowd before you leave. So, but you know what I'm talking about dreams? Have any of you gotten a directional dreams from God in the night? Yeah. Well, just share one of them. Just share. Well, if you don't, that's okay. Just say to. Okay. And who? You have one?
Years ago, when I lived in New York, he gave me a dream that was quitting my job, moving to North Carolina, and I wrote it down. Actually, I still have it, and it happened. Oh my problem! You know, just like I had it in the dream, it just happened.
Okay. What was the secret to what she just said?
Wrote it down.
She wrote it down. When you wake up from a dream and you have a clear understanding of the dream, write it down. Don't say, I'm going to get up and go have a coffee and then write it down, because by the time you're pouring the coffee, gone. Even if God wakes you up outside of a dream and you think God's speaking to you, go write it down. Sometimes he'll bring it up again in the morning. Sometimes he'll say, you should have written it down. And he'll probably bring it up again. But so one of the ways in which God speaks, and you can look through the Bible, and the way to do that is get a good concordance or a computer concordance and study dreams, and then go look and see how dreams operate. But many times dreams are directional or they're informational. Are you with me? Questions? Comments?
So you said you had spaghetti. Does that mean that it's like a jigsaw puzzle?
I mean, it's just... they're
it's
just,
like a jigsaw puzzle?
It's all, yeah, it's just...
It takes 3 years to put it all together?
No, I can't put it together in 3 years. You can't put these dreams together. They just come out screwy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I used to think I was crazy until a prophet I respected, because I thought, if anybody ought to have dreams, we ought to. And I ran into another guy, and he said, and I trust him, and he's got a world ministry, and he's got a good ministry, and he said, I get all these crazy dreams, but I never get godly dreams. And I thought, yes, I feel better. One dream I did have that really is profound in me was I was headed for a courthouse. Did I tell this one? I was going into a... I could get my memory banks rolling over here. I was headed into a courthouse, and there's a giant marble courthouse. And I walked in, and I started to head up the stairs. And when I got halfway up, and the stairs were open, they weren't have a railing or a guard going up them. It was open, so you could get up halfway up the stairs and jump off onto a massive courthouse with all marble. So I'm walking up the stairs, and I look, and there's this guy coming, and he has a coat and tie on, and a thin tie, and he's carrying a briefcase, and he's wearing dark sunglasses. And I'm coming up on the right side of the thing, and he comes around, and he comes down the steps. Now, as he starts coming down the steps, I realize that he's not there for my benefit. And I realize that when I go by him, he's going to turn around and try to get me. So I walk by, and he goes down, and I turn around to find out he turned around, and he took one or two steps for me, and I open my mouth, and I breathe, and fire came out of my mouth, and he was consumed by the fire. I thought, this is really, I need that anointing, come on. Yeah. And my wife would say, no, you don't, because a lot of people would disappear from the earth. Then the second I did that, they started coming out through the walls. They all looked the same. They all had a briefcase, and there was like 50 of them. And I backed up the steps a little, and they started coming up the steps at me, and then I could feel the power of God come on me. And I went like this, and I went like that, and I opened my mouth, and fire came out and consumed them all. The second that happened, God spoke to me almost audibly in the dream and said, I have given you power and authority over all demons, and then upgraded my anointing in the dream. So when I woke up, I was absolutely sure no matter what I ran into, I was going to win. I actually woke up in a different level in an anointing for spiritual warfare. Okay, let's go to Acts 10 and we'll look at visions. Any questions so far? Any comments? Any stories of your own? Yes. Disappeared. It's cool. Yes. Say it again. He showed you what? There is what? Power in the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Okay, Acts chapter 10. Now, this is the incoming part, and the reason I'm spending the time to do this is so you know the ways in which God's going to bring incoming. We'll call it incoming. Okay? All right, is that clock going slow or is it me? All right. Okay, thank you, Lord, for slowing down the clock. I want to get through some of this. Okay, let's go to Acts 10, verses 9. Let's go to verse 9. Most of you are familiar with the story of Peter and Cornelius. If you haven't, read Acts 10, read Acts 11. It's a great story. Peter's vision. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were ready, he fell into a trance. Now, that word trance literally means his mind got displaced. Something was going on in his head that wasn't a normal thing. His mind was literally being thrown into displacement. This is what happens when you get this because you're going spiritual. In an instant, you can go spiritual. In an instant, you can start to see. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the seeing part. So he's seeing this while he's there. Trance means he's just sitting there, he's praying, and then all of a sudden he's seeing. And saw heaven open up, an object like a great sheet bound by the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. You want me to tell that story? I will. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again, second time, says, "What God has cleansed, you must also not call common." This was done three times, and sometimes when I'm getting vision, I get it in threes, and once I get it in threes, it's locked and loaded. Not all the time, but I know that sometimes when God brings me things in threes, it's case closed. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into a heaven again. So part of this vision, and then if you go on and you can read about it, you can read about it through the Bible. Now remember, this is up to you to go study the Bible and study visions. This isn't just to take notes. This is for you to go study. Because then you're going to really see how the Bible treats vision. Now I can tell you from vision that vision comes to me two ways. Vision comes in my head and out of my head. And being a prophet, the original word for prophet, I don't like using that word for myself, but for the sake of this class and what we're talking about, when God ordained me to be a prophet, the original term for a prophet was seer, or rohe. It was a seer. So that means prophets were first called seers. Because they do what? They see. Sometimes when God was talking to private prophets, he would say, "What do you see? What do you see?" So with me, vision comes two places. First, I'll see it in my head. That's one way that the Lord will deal with me. The second way he deals with me is I'll see it outside of my head in a picture that is like an overlap. I'm seeing naturally, but I'm seeing spiritually at the same time. I was in Bible school one time, and it was during worship, and I turned around, and there's a kid standing in the middle of the aisle like this. And right behind him, the whole New York skyline appeared behind him. So I'm looking at the guy, and here's the whole New York skyline. So God's getting my attention by showing me that he was from New York.
Wow.
Then he said he's in Teen Challenge, and he came here, and he's going to return to Teen Challenge. You need to confirm that in him. So I walked back. And I said, "Well, you can't see it, but there's the New York skyline behind you." And the Lord said this, and it was a confirmation to him. So sometimes, and when I first started praying for people, I had prayer lines, and sometimes I'd be praying for somebody, and I'd look up, and I would see God would start sending me photographs. He would send me four or five or six photographs. Then he would take the photographs and he'd arrange them in order, and then he'd write under it, and then I'd just speak it. That was fun.
Yeah.
Now, most of what I see is in movie reels, so everything to me is actually a movie reel. I can see now. I can see what God sees is going to happen tomorrow, the next day, at times. Like with Teresa, I saw the mailbox before she, while she was still in my house, and told her to go touch the mailbox, which was a word of wisdom, meaning she had to follow the instructions to see her healing. So I was seeing the mailbox in advance that she was going to touch it, which means God saw her touching the mailbox. Before any of us in the room, including me, knew that she was going to go touch the mailbox. So sometimes with a picture, I'll see the picture and then he'll describe what he's doing with the picture. Y'all with me? And the only way that you're going to understand this is to experience it, because it can't be taught. It has to be experienced. Yes?
Of someone with a cell phone coming out of their car, holding it like just like that. And as soon as I turned and looked at my like mirror, I saw that person coming out of their car with a cell phone. Because I didn't think that would happen. I'm like, yes.
Now, also, and that's a good story, because remember, when you're seeing, you're not seeing what you're seeing, you're seeing what God sees. Now, I can see sometimes things past, things present, and things future. Why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he knows the past, present, and future. And sometimes, I think I told this story about the polka dot dress. I told that. Remember that story? I was praying for this girl, and then all of a sudden I saw the demon come across her lawn and hit her when she was 5 years old. Well, God gave me that vision so he could minister to the woman. One thing you have to watch out for is what came through your family line. That's from your family line. That's from your family line. And whenever you get ready to do something, it jumps on you. That's from your family line. Close your eyes. I curse what is taking place in your generation in Jesus' name. I command peace on you. I command faith on you. I command that a new generation starts today with you. God has not given you a spirit of fear. God gave it to your generations, but he isn't giving it to you. He wants you to know that today for yourself. It isn't for you. It was for your past people, the people in your families that you caught it. It wasn't taught to you. You caught it. And all they did was pass it on and jump on you because they saw it worked in all your other generations. Six, as a matter of fact. Six. And it worked in all the other generations, and it's tried to work on you. But today the Lord says it stops.
Amen.
And you need to speak to it. When it comes up, you need to open your mouth and you take the authority that God has written on you, and he's doing it now. On your left shoulder, here we go. And your left shoulder is the word faith. Above your head in a circle is faithful. And he's laying the axe to the root of all the other generations. I saw the Holy Ghost coming with an axe, and he was taking the axe and he was cutting the roots out of all those generations in your life. Now that's an instant where you're just talking and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost comes on and you just flow into the next thing.
I saw something.
Well, that, and I've had that happen. I was, you want to know the story? I was, the pastor was trying to get this guy set free. He was, he had alcohol problems and he had a stuttering. He stuttered. And so the pastor asked me to come over and help me. And this is a church we used to go to a while back. Never did this before, never have since. It just fit for what it was for. So he was trying to read him through one of these courses that getting them set free. It was a good course, but the guy needed something else. So the pastor had to run to the restroom, and I was sitting there, and I say, I need to take him into the sanctuary and go up to the front. I didn't know why, but I knew I needed to do that. So I start taking him up there, and I said, the problem is that there's a spirit of fear that's got a grip on you. And the pastor comes in, and he knew my anointing. So we're all sitting there. And I said to him, well, he said, well, I'm not sure about that. And I said, well, let me prove it to you. I never did this before. So I said to the spirit of fear, I said, spirit of fear, manifest yourself on him. Because I have authority over demons. And all of a sudden, all three of us went into fear immediately. It was like a cloud of darkness came right there. The spirit obeyed me and jumped on him. And then I said, watch this. I'm going to cast it off of you, and it's going to leave right through those open doors. And I bound it, and I cast it off. And he said he actually felt it go out through the door. And then the Lord gave me this bright idea. And I said, I don't think he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I led him into the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And this is crazy. And he couldn't read scripture because he'd stutter. So he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and he started speaking in tongues. And I handed him a book and I said, read the next, because I said, you can't stutter in the Spirit. It's impossible. So he has a new man inside of him that doesn't stutter. And he caught it because when 1 Corinthians 14:14, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So when you hear yourself speaking in tongues, it ain't you that's doing it. It's the spirit. It's your spirit man doing it, because your Adam man is never going to be able to speak in tongues. Wow. He picked up the Bible and read like two paragraphs without stuttering, got completely healed from stuttering. Isn't that a cool story? I love this stuff. How can you go wrong? So what happens is you get to see something, but the seeing isn't just for seeing. The seeing is for purpose. How many of you have seen in the Spirit? Okay, good. Look at this. It's great. And you know that when God shows you something, and we're going to talk about this, about the what happens when the end comes in, what do we do with it? How do we treat that? But normally, every time that God shows you something, it's for purpose. Now, sometimes you may be speaking to somebody and you may see something. You still have to know whether you're supposed to give that now or later. And that takes training. So you're not going to always do it right when you pray for people, and never condemn yourself because you think you did wrong. Because don't forget, who's your teacher? The Holy Ghost. Is he going to get me there? Absolutely, 100%. Now, I have a friend named Tony. He's a prophet. I kind of discipled him in the prophetic. And he was getting married in 2012. And he wanted me to marry him, but I had stopped my credentials with the Foursquare. I used to be a licensed Foursquare minister because God told me to stop that. his sister's husband was a pastor of a church, so we kind of dueled the ceremony. And I'm up there, and his wife's there, and she's a great kid, and they're both up there, and they're looking serious and stuff, and they're going through the vows and everything. It's just a beautiful wedding. And then we're having the reception afterwards, and he comes over, he grabs me, he says, "Come on, I got to go with you." He says, "Well, I was up there taking my vows, I was getting a word of knowledge on this guy over here, and I need to go over and minister to him." And I thought to myself, you're sitting there face to face with your wife, taking the most important step between the two of you, and you're getting words and knowledge on somebody over there. So it can come at any time. Okay, another way that this happens is that... Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm still trying to understand the difference, and maybe there isn't a difference
right.
between a vision and just having a picture.
Is there no, a difference? Same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's either, it's something you see. So if you see a picture, it's something you see. If you see a movie reel, it's something you see.
I guess I just thought that a vision was more of a movie picture.
Well, it can be. Do you have movie pictures?
No, I have pictures.
You have pictures. How's the picture? How does God deal with you in the pictures? Does he just show you the picture and then right tell you what the picture means?
No, he just shows me the picture.
Or like is this people. When you're praying for people?
Yes.
Okay. Well, explain yes. it because you don't want to always hear from me. So go ahead.
Well, like last night I was praying for this young woman and the Lord gave me a picture of her sitting on a raised fireplace, her and her husband teaching the
yeah.
word of God. And so I spoke that over her, but I didn't know if she had a raised fireplace in her house because you don't see those. And so,
this is very important you hear this story.
So I asked her later, I was like, well, do you have, I mean, because once I said it, I was like, what if she doesn't have a raised fireplace? She just bought a house. The
Lord's
not, you know. So afterwards I asked her if she had a raised fireplace. And so her husband, they're both baby Christians.
Yes.
Very baby
yeah.
Christians. And she can't see herself teaching. She can't, and her husband is not that involved in church.
Yeah.
But the Lord just showed me that picture, so I asked her, and she said, yeah, she has
yeah.
a raised fireplace.
Yeah.
And she said when she bought her house, she asked the Lord, she wanted to have Bible studies in her house.
Cool. Now, see, she has a prophetic ministry. You already know that. I mean, the first day I saw her, I came in here and I saw her up there. I realized she had a prophetic ministry. I've never spoken it over you, I don't think.
You did.
I did?
You spoke that I would go deep in the prophetic anointing.
Okay, well then I forget it. Senior moment. Anyway, so what she's being trained in is to trust no matter how screwy it looks. Because remember, when you're speaking for God, it isn't your mind, it's His. And what you're going to find out, the more you do this, the more you're going to be able to start trusting God when you're going to go, oh, am I, and we're into the third phase of this, the delivery. Oops, am I really going to say that to the person? That's where the trust comes, and that's the membrane you have to break through to trust God in what you're doing. Yes.
Can I just share, because I've been Christian for a long time, a lot of prophetic words of people praying, they give them forever. It seems like God gives them a prophetic word.
Speak up a little.
God gives them a prophetic word, a lot of people over the years, and they're trying to figure it out when it's not their job, because they just need to give the word to me, because every time they're right on, I know what it means, they don't, but sometimes they need to stop trying to figure out and just trust God.
Well, and that's a process, but a lot of times the process is we're not taught like we're being taught here. Are you get that? And one of the great things I love about Hope Chapel is it's a fivefold ministry church, so the prophetic has to be taught if you're going to have a fivefold ministry church. Because that's one of the fivefold ministry gifts, out of the prophet and the prophetic. So what we want to do is we want to be able to, and this was the struggle I had, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I had a struggle because I would sit there and give the word thinking, you know, and the person would know inside, I'm going, gee, this is kind of crazy. Why would I be thinking this? See, one of the ways that you can know that sometimes you're getting, your mind's being displaced, it comes out of the blue. Say it again. It comes out of the blue. It's something that comes in and displaces your mind. Why would I ever be thinking about a fireplace when I'm praying for somebody? The reason is because it's coming for something else, and it has to go into her mind for it to be what? Spoken either by intuitive or by what? By vision. So she sees the fireplace, but watch this. You do not have to understand what you're seeing or what you're speaking. Let me say it again. You do not, write this down. This is a principle. You do not have to understand what you're seeing when you speak. You just have to speak. Let me see if I can do this real quick. I think I've already said this once, but I'll do it again. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. There's nothing there about understanding what you're speaking. That's John 12, 49 and 50. Yes, Neil, go ahead.
There's another really neat scripture on this topic. It's in 1 Peter. I'm going to begin reading in verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who is in them was indicating when he testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. And it's saying that when Isaiah was writing Isaiah 53 about Jesus dying on the cross, he didn't know what he was talking about. He had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And it was 600 years before that word came true.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Crucifixion was invented.
Yeah. And this is like, and that's what the prophets, most of the prophets had no idea about the dynamics of Christ when they were speaking of him coming. They weren't there. So you know, and when we got back and we started with our foundational scripture, it said, for prophecy is of no private interpretation. So you're never to try to, and here we go, rationalists. Remember, we're becoming spiritually thought. We're becoming spiritual thinkers, not rational thinkers. Now watch, your rational mind's going to get in the way of that. You're going to run calculations. Game over. Watch. God showed this to me one day. D-O-U-B-T. D-O-U-B-T. Once that thing hits, you got to act. If not, and you start thinking about it, D-O-U. Come on. We're all here. B-T. And see, the repetition, remember when we talked about use it in proportion to your faith? The proportion is the repetitive communication and the proof that God uses you. The more you do that, the more you're going to see it time after time. And then it's going to be natural for you to do that. It's going to be part of who you are. It has to flow out of you. Has to flow. Because that's an anointing to do that. And then you'll learn the communication skills and the training by the Holy Ghost. But it'll train you differently than he trains me, but it'll all look the same. Because he's got you in mind when he does it. Isn't that cool? It's like a private lesson. With all of you. It's a private lesson. Get free lessons. Only in the kingdom, not here. Okay, and then another way he talks to you is through spiritual senses, meaning there's five senses in the spirit in the new created man: taste, touch, smell, hear, and see. So when I see, I'm not seeing with my human mind, I'm seeing with my spirit. It's getting into my human mind, but it's coming from the spirit. Now, I told the marijuana story.
Yep.
All right. Well, another one was you remember the one with the marijuana and the kids and smell of marijuana in my nose when there's no marijuana in the building. That's a spiritual sense. Then another one, I was praying for the pastor's wife, about 200 people in the building, and I was praying for her, and God gave me something about roses. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking at her, and this was really cool, and all of a sudden, a whole bouquet of roses comes up over her head. Then as a bouquet of roses comes up over her head, I start smelling roses, but there's no roses around. And then all of a sudden, people are raising their hands. I said, how many people can smell it? And all over the church, people are smelling the smell of roses. So you can have spiritual senses of seeing and hearing and touching and all that stuff. I don't know how that all works. I know for me, I can have spirit. My spiritual senses will pick up something. So that's another way that God speaks to you.
What does it mean when you smell something?
Well, that's where you have to. Well, all right, this is a good lesson. When something displaces your mind and you're not sure of it, you got to turn around and go immediately to the Holy Ghost and say, what's this all about? It doesn't mean he has to speak to you. See, by not speaking to you, he isn't saying no. By not speaking to you, he's saying, not at this time. Don't forget, he trains better than you think he trains. And he knows what? Go ahead.
So sometimes he's wanting you to ask what that is?
Yes.
Okay.
And and sometimes it's to see, it kind of sometimes pulls you into the awareness of being sensitive to that.
Because I smelled something like some other time, and I didn't even think to ask him what it was.
Yeah, that's where he is. Why? Because everything's coming from what? How does anything get from the kingdom to the earth? Through who? The Holy Ghost. So when I started getting words of knowledge, I was failing left and right and giving them because I was afraid that somebody was going to go, yeah, I said that, yeah, got that wrong, and then my ministry is down the drain, or I wasn't called to do this. But what it made me aware of, even in not doing it, made me aware of to keep myself sensory because they kept coming. So I had to learn how to deal with the revelation it was coming to that I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't start off like this. I started off crying and weeping and saying, how come I'm not taking chances? And people, I get words and I just turn around and walk away. Because I was scared. I was doing it naturally. Yes?
I don't know if this is part of the senses or not, but what happens to me a lot is, like I get a feeling, like a sense that something's off.
Yes.
Or
yes.
A person or a situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I get a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is and that.
Yeah. And that's time to lock it up. That means it's time to stop what you're doing, sit down, and wait on the Lord. I had that happen one time. I was at Bible school. I had a briefcase. I'm heading for the library. A little street I had to cross, not a main street. It was part of the college street. So I got the briefcase and I start walking across the street and I get halfway across the street and I go like this. And I can't move. All right, what am I supposed to do? Now I'm confused. So So I turn around, I go like this, and I start to go back, and I get to the other curb, and I stop again. Now I'm like a ping pong ball. I'm going like this. I'm trying to head for the library. I can't do it. Can't do it. And I said, the heck with this. I'm not going to the library. And then I saw a bench over there. I went and sat down at the bench, and like an idiot, I'm standing at the bench like this. Because I'm sensing something, but nothing's coming along. All of a sudden, this lady pushing a baby carriage come by, and I spent about 15 minutes reading her mail.
Wow.
And she just wheeled right up to me and started talking to me, and the Lord gave me revelation on her.
Wow.
So sometimes what I'll do is I'll be doing something, and I had this happen the other day. I was up in Virginia at a lodge with some people we knew. And we were just sitting around the kitchen table. And I was just talking, and then all of a sudden, my whole body just went, boom. Like this. And I waited, and then all of a sudden, I could feel the glory cloud coming down into the room, and I could hardly breathe. The power was so strong, it shut me down. And somebody tried to talk, and I said, don't talk like this. And I couldn't move my body. And literally, the whole cloud from heaven, a glory cloud just descended and laid down on the property like this. And I mean, it was some real juice going on there. So sometimes you have to, when you get an intuitive thing, it means to listen. It means to stop what you're doing. Because sometimes God will just get your attention. Can we use that word? Okay. We're going to stop there. It's about 10 of. Actually, I'll do one more. Yes. No, I'll stop there. Yes. Yes.
So one day, I'm sitting watching this movie, RV, you know, and it's with Robin Williams, and I mean, it's a comedy, whatever. And I'm watching the movie, and suddenly I feel the Holy Spirit all around me. Well, I'm sure you all know what that
is. Yeah, we know what that is.
Right, and so I did exactly what you said. I stopped and went, Lord, you know, because what's going on? And as I'm just listening, here the movie was playing, they were singing this song, Jeff Daniels and this other girl, I have the never-ending love for you. Now, that was just the Lord speaking that to me through the silly movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you just never know.
Yeah.
There's just these God moments.
I get different interpretations watching the movie sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And he can do that because he's there with you watching the movie. And one last thing. I was praying for a person years ago in a prayer line, and I had something to say to him, and the Lord brought up a scene from a movie I had watched 25 years earlier. Pulled the scene right up, said it to him, the guy started to cry.
Wow.
Just, see, he's got all that in him. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I'll turn that back over to you. Yeah, that's good.
So if you have kids in childcare, make sure